Welcome to the Engagement Fit Drive podcast. We're so happy to have you join us. And together with Tracy, Andrew, and Claire, let's make bringing your drives to life practical and fun. In our drives and action episodes, we'll share stories of drives at play in everyday scenarios so you can relate and gain deeper understanding of your drives. In our Driving Impact episodes, we'll sit down with incredible guests who are using the Drive framework and tools to create meaningful impact, both professionally and personally. Whether you're here to better understand yourself, your team, or simply curious about living a thriving and inspired life, you're in the right place. So let's dive in.
Communicating with Drive. This series is on the three different drive domains with the intention of providing you with communication skills, how to communicate effectively. Communication is the cornerstone of high-performing teams, and understanding the diverse communication styles driven by personality and cognitive preferences is key to unlocking that potential. Whether accomplishing tasks, strategizing solutions, or building relationships, each drive brings a unique communication style, from the decisive clarity of a captain to the empathetic support of a caretaker. By recognizing the value of these distinct styles, accomplishing, thinking, and relating, teams can foster collaboration, enhance problem-solving, and achieve greater outcomes through intentional and adaptive communication. For me, communication is so important because every relationship relies on communication. It builds trust in relationships, personal and professional. It increases productivity and morale in teams. It encourages empathy and emotional intelligence. It also helps us set boundaries and express our needs. When we talk about our drives, we know that everyone brings a different drive to the table. And when we understand those drives, whether they're about accomplishing goals, thinking strategically, or building relationships, we unlock a whole new level of collaboration and impact. In this episode, we are breaking down what these communication styles look like in action and how recognizing them can transform the way we work and lead together. Thinking drives are all about ideas and insights. Relating drives emphasize connection and emotional intelligence. Understanding your drive helps you thrive in your role, and knowing others' drives helps you collaborate better. Some drives are fast-paced and action-focused. Others are analytical or relational. By learning to recognize these, we can avoid conflict, boost collaboration, and build stronger teams. Each drive has its own voice, its own communication style. And when that voice is misunderstood or ignored, we get conflict, disengagement, or confusion. And when it's heard and honored, that's when collaboration becomes powerful. We are going to help you speak the language of each drive. What to listen for when others are communicating. We'll explore things like how to motivate without micromanaging. How to adapt your message so it lands just right. In this episode, we are starting with our accomplishing drives. The accomplishing drives focus on action and results. And we're going to start with our captain drive, who takes control, takes the lead in high pressure or confrontational situations. And in those situations, the communication is direct, decisive, and authoritative, and sets direction. So you will find that the captain's communication style is going to be direct. can feel very challenging. And if the captain driver is not well managed, it might be that communication style even in non-high pressure situations.
So just for captains to consider as well, as Trace has already said, is that captains generally tend to be very decisive, self-confident, and just in terms of their communication style, to consider the impact that might have on the team that's following.
Also to mention that a captain has this natural presence. So the natural presence plus the communication style of shooting straight from the hip can be quite intimidating. And they need to be aware of how they communicate. We've seen in works with various teams where a captain is one of the leaders as well. People are generally intimidated to even come to them with a question because of the presence, number one, the energy, and then also the directness of the communication itself.
Our competitor drive, this is another drive because of their strong need to win. And also thrive under competitive pressure, it's also going to be a style that are very confident. And you're going to feel that pressure when they are communicating with you because they've got to win. It's all about results for the competitor. They're going to communicate in a way that's going to highlight achievements and success. They often focus on metrics and outcomes, and this drives discussion towards competitive advantages.
Something to consider as a competitor is that it doesn't ever mean that you turn down that need to win or to be the best, but it is the communication will typically sound like, what are the metrics? How do we know that we are winning? For a person with the competitor drive strong to remember that you don't win on your own. You need your team as well. So when it comes to how you communicate as a competitor, it's also consideration for the team that you're working with.
Andrew, I like that. In terms of the competitor, in their mind, things are very clear. They know where they're going, but someone perhaps that has competitors as a drainer, they're going to really struggle with that pressure that they feel. And perhaps the competitor then the communication actually has to be clearer, more transparent, maybe more information that they're going to need to hand over to their team to how do they motivate their team and feel this, the way they feel about accomplishing this.
Phil, it's important before we start discussing this, is every drive perceives other drives through their own filters.
Yes.
And that'll be important to remember in terms of we are not the judges of how we show up. It's how other people perceive that we show up. So when it comes to communication, like we've been saying with Captain and Competitor so far, is to be able to communicate in a way where the other people feel safe to be able to interact with you or communicate with you or be vulnerable with you.
Excellent point, Andrew. The whole purpose of communication is not only what we say, but does the person receiving actually understand what we say?
Yep.
So I think it's simple, but it's not as simple as we make it out to be. And I think it's a downfall of a lot of relationships. Let's have a look at our coordinator drive. And here we are looking at a drive that is all about ensuring efficiency and collaboration. So they're going to bring clarity when they're communicating on the goals. They are easily going to be able to communicate to people, get the people in the right positions, coordinate the right resources that they need. They actually excel at organizing information and facilitating discussions. They aim to ensure that all voices are heard and their tasks are aligned with overall goals. And I'm just going to speak from myself as being a dominant coordinator. We still can be a bit busy and we still may bring a level of energy that maybe somebody like a strong moderator drive or a scheduler drive that maybe just needs a bit more time and a bit more clarity. I feel that we can be, because we're a bit busy, our communication may, and maybe my other drives are influencing this, But just a reminder, again, as we're talking about communication, is who are you communicating to? How do they need to be communicated to for you to get the best results?
You might find that the communication is quite fast because of busyness and because you are overseeing multiple things happening at once. And also efficiency playing into that realm as well. So just being able to sometimes listen and adjust your communication style to the people that you're working with, so everyone has clarity on what the goal is and the most efficient way to achieve it.
Andrew, can I also add on that point is, remember that the coordinator has the Zoom in, Zoom out, so they can see the big picture. So for them, there's so much clarity on how this is going to look and what's going down. And just to remember that if they're communicating with people, they can't see the big picture. That's what I've tried to reiterate earlier in terms of bringing clarity to that person that can't possibly see where the coordinator's heading or what it looks like altogether. And same for communicating to the bigger picture people who maybe don't get lost with the detail.
In communicating with a coordinator, you may find that they are checking in. So there'll be a lot of checking in, like how's things go? How far are we with something? They delegate and they do it really well. Being able to keep multiple balls in the air at the same time, they know when and how and who needs to be engaged. So they will be very inclusive in their communication, but they will also be very fast.
Let's have a look at our finisher. Our finisher has the strong need to get things finished. So their communication will tend to be goal-orientated. Then they could be frustrated if they feel they're not able to finish what they're working on. So their communication style could even be projection of because their internal drive that they have to accomplish and get things done, not everybody has that. And they may project that onto other people. They may unconsciously, or even if it's body language, the traits are going to be thoroughness, attention to detail. Remember, highly productive as well, very good work ethic. They put this internal pressure on themselves and following through. So they really will follow things through to the end.
So as long as the person who has a finisher drive has clarity on the goal, they will get down and get it done. So a couple of things around the communication space is, if I know what the goal is, communicating with other people might not be front of mind in terms of what needs to get finished. First thing to consider, because if you've got a team with you and you are a finisher on that team, you may need to step up how you're communicating what the goal is and progress towards that deadline. Second thing is, if a finisher is to a stage where that task looks like it may not be finished in a day, it could generate in either two things. One, a desire to push through until it's finished, or the other, frustration because it's not finished. And that may come through in how you respond to people or communicate with others.
Great thing that you've included there, Andrew, is that when that pressure comes on, and they think that they can finish something, whether it be within the hour or within the day, they're going to communicate and say, I can't talk right now. I need X amount of time. You're not going to get a lot of communication out of them in that time when they are in the zone.
Let's move on to our first responder. This is one of the time-orientated drives. So when communicating with the first responder, it's all about the now. They will immediately go into the now. They will be very present in their communication style. You are a dominant first responder. It is wise to include in your communication when you ask to do something, find out when it needs to be done by, because you will automatically go into your, yes, the urgency, let's get this done, because it's all about urgency with this drive and being able, you know, have that energy in the moment. I think communication will tend to be urgent, yet calm and focused on what is needed now, but you will feel the sense of urgency from them. First responders communicate rapidly and decisively, often in high pressure situations. They prioritize immediate resolution and quick action.
relying on concise and clear communication.
As Tracy mentioned, first responder is very urgent in the moment. Two aspects that need to be considered. First responder tends to prioritize based on what's needed right now. So number one consideration is to pause and consider what's needed, and then to be able to communicate effectively with those around them, the most important and most urgent thing to get done right now. If they achieved a priority, then they will recalibrate the next priority. Sometimes working with other people, you need to communicate what that is. And just because they can change direction fast doesn't assume everyone else will track that fast either. One other thing for first responders to consider around the speed of communication is that if you're not focused on potentially what you're communicating, outside distractions could mean that you move from one topic to the next. And people who are tracking what you're saying suddenly think, hang on, are we talking about the same thing still?
That's very relevant because the first responder is responding to everything in their environment. Yes. How, yeah, to get their attention and their focus. And like you say, Andrea, and in their mind, it's what is the priority right now? You know, what needs to be done, what needs to be actioned. Claire, do you want to add anything?
As a dominant first responder, we only come out when there is a need for us. It's very much a reaction thing. If there's an urgency and nobody else is stepping up, then a first responder will step up and take charge over whatever needs to be done.
Fix the drive. This is a drive that is all about solutions. Solutions to things that are not working, that need to be fixed. Talking to a fixer. Dominant fixer drive. If you're talking to them about any issue, any problem, they are going to give you feedback on how to solve this problem. So these people are naturally drawn towards weakness and dysfunction. Their communication will be aimed at clearly defining the problem and the challenge, and then aimed at providing a solution that leads towards restoration and healing. Communicate to identify problems and purpose solutions efficiently. They tend to ask directed questions and focus on resolution, often leading discussions toward practical outcomes.
I think for a fixer as well, they would listen attentively because they really are zoned into what the problem is and how I can assist in solving that problem. And they would be listening very attentively for those things. But when it comes to the solution, they would also be very quick to provide advice, come up with a solution, and want to be involved.
If you are dealing with a fixer or you are a fixer, please bear these considerations in mind. First of all, in order to be able to solve any sort of problem, person who has a fixer mindset would need detail in terms of what the problem is. And the more detail, the better able they are to effectively come up with a solution. Also, fixers tend to focus on root cause analysis. So the more information that can be supplied, the greater the ability is for them to identify what the root cause is and then to come up with a solution. Just bearing in mind that this drive is naturally drawn to a weakness or dysfunction, and it can be aimed at people or to systems or to both. Because you are naturally drawn or can spot weakness and dysfunction in things, and when you are communicating to other people, make sure that you are not in a situation, especially in relationships, where you are trying to fix everybody's problems for them by giving advice and saying, this is how you should solve the problem. Unless that is asked or they're asked for your advice or your opinion. And the second thing is, just because you can see something that's broken, you need to respect other people's boundaries.
And just to remember that we can't fix people. And I also want to remind you that we're talking about communication here. Be very careful of how you speak to yourself, because you're always looking for problems and weaknesses. How do you speak to yourself? What are the things you're telling yourself? Because we're not broken. Yes, we might be misaligned and we might be a bit out of sync, but we're not broken and we don't need to be fixed. Maybe we just have to redirect. So have compassion for yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself.
The tendency may be to ask the question, what is wrong? What is wrong with me? What is wrong with this thing? What is wrong? And change your question. And don't turn that what is wrong question on you. You are not broken. You are not wrong. Identify the things that might need a shift or a change, but don't define yourself as broken or, because what that leads to, if you're consistently turning this drive in on yourself, is to breaking confidence.
In communicating with fixers, when they go into their fixing or they put on their fixer head, they tend to drill down. So they'll ask questions that are drilling down to get to that root cause.
Good insight.
Initiator drive. Here we are looking at someone who's proactive and creative. And this is a very, very fast drive. These are the people that talk fast, eat fast, walk fast, sleep fast. Their communication is going to be fast. Initiator really loves to get things started. So communication is not only verbal. I always talk about nonverbal and body language. You will see they'll be the first people that stand up. You'll see in their body, let's go. Come on, let's go and let's get this done. So their communication is definitely going to be infused with energy, urgency, and fueled by the motivation to get things started and build momentum. They are going to sound very enthusiastic. Their communication will go straight to brainstorming and bringing new ideas to the table. They will communicate with energy and encourage getting this plan on the go. Let's go do it. And even if it's not their idea, initiators will have that energy to let go. And also, we do need to be aware of context, where we are when we feel this energy, because is it our role to take command, or do we maybe need to wait for a bit of instructions from the leader? We will automatically jump in. It's just something, and I've had to catch myself lots of times and go, whoa, Tracy, just hold the bus now. This is not for you to actually take lead. Or maybe I need to ask more questions, but you will feel that from them. So they will get the team motivated. They will, because they bring that energy. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. They bring the confidence, the energy.
And the readiness. Initiators come, they are ready. They are waiting for everyone else. What's taking everyone so long? This thing needs to get started, and there's an urgency to start.
Claire, exactly that. We don't have to know how, when, why, we just want to go. Let's go. We'll figure it out on the way, but we've got to get started.
And what you'll tend to find with initiators is the reason behind that we need to get things going is that there's a tendency to learn by doing and to experimenting, yes, and to getting things done. Just a couple of considerations in terms of the initiator drive. We spoke about captain being bold and decisive, and for initiators, the consideration there is, how are you communicating? Does it sound like you are impatient and not willing to hear other people's perspectives in this attempt to want to get things started? The second thing around initiator is, when is speed needed? And respect the fact that there are team members around you who, sometimes your speed of communicating can be faster than other people can keep up with. Let's get things going. Because remember, the strength of initiator is not just about getting themselves going, it's getting a team going. So how are you communicating that to the different members of the team with different needs for information and what's required to get this initiative started?
Yes, I love what you've just said, Andrew, is that they don't need a whole lot of detail. They're just ready to go. But in their excitement, they may also get other drives to dig in their heels. Example, skeptic that needs more information. And this excitement is going to be off-putting for a skeptic, but it's also going to make him want to take even 10 steps backward, because how are you so excited about this thing? We don't know where we're going, how are we going to do this? And initiators need to manage that, because their excitement may actually deter someone else in their wanting to get things done.
So communication is key for initiators, especially if you are leading a team. We're now going to talk about the pioneer. This is the adventurous drive. So their communication style is going to be with enthusiasm. And remember, the pioneer is very happy to go into the unknown. But there's a lot of confidence that comes with their drive. You're going to see that they come across as very self-confident because they have this can-do attitude. But they're not scared of going into uncharted territory or situations where there's a lot of uncertainty and unknowns. So they're great in a team when there is new territory to take on. They will inspire that confidence in the team. It's a drive that is strongly attached to entrepreneurship. So because they can go it alone, their communication really needs to incorporate the team, the needs of the team, the highest good of the team, because it's not only them. And it can be quite frustrating as a pioneer, certainly for myself, a shrewd pioneer, in terms of working in environments where there is a lot of red tape and there are a lot of rules and you cannot just do what you want to do. You feel that your arms are tied sometimes. It's how do you communicate that? This is where companies have to be very careful that they don't squash that pioneer and they don't lose them either. And how do they work with someone that's a pioneer who's so great to have, because we know that life is, there's so many unknowns. How do they communicate? How do they allow some leeway? What does that leeway look like? How does the communication evolve where they don't feel like they can't take the reins?
Something for pioneers to consider is, because you are naturally self-confident and you have a higher capacity to be able to go into situations where there are unknowns and unknowables, it is worth considering around your communication space that not everyone is wired the same as you. And there are certain people with particular drives, most notably skeptic being one of them, whose tendency is to try and mitigate risk. And the key point around a skeptic is not necessarily to make the decision. It can make the decision, but one of their greatest needs is the need to be heard. So as a pioneer leading a team or going into a situation where there are people with you, consider hearing the concerns of those around you who might feel a little bit uncertain in this particular endeavor or situation. There might be some valuable insight in that.
Yeah, as a pioneer, I think it's also important that we are aware of our maturity as a pioneer and not to be dismissive of when those risks or concerns need to be heard.
Scheduler is focused on structure and they are very dependable. So their communication traits are going to be quite methodical, focusing on timelines, deadlines, and processes. They prioritize clarity and organization and communications to ensure everyone stays on track. So you will feel the sense of order, structure in their communication. They will be attentive to all parts of the plan. This is the drive that loves to come up with a plan and then follow through on that plan. So their focus is going to be communicating how to execute according to that plan.
If you are a scheduler, is your strong need to be planned, organized, routined, and have orderly environments is not the way everyone else is structured. And life is not something that's always predictable. So while it's always good to have a plan, but that the whole point of the scheduler drive is not just having a plan, but keeping other people on track with that plan and keeping them according to the milestone, the deadlines, so that the objective is achieved. The key thing there is How do you handle flexibility, and maybe where do you need help from others in terms of creating that flexibility? And this would be done through a process of communication.
We've lost Claire. They've had no power, so we've lost two at the moment. Andrew, let's discuss this as well in terms of, as we've been going through the drives, I wonder if our listeners are picking up kind of the tensions that could be between these drives. We've spoken about a scheduler who needs to have a plan, they need to know what they're doing, and they need to be organized. And then we've got our pioneer who's going to throw everything out of their world, is going to fall upside down. Our first responder, who they don't necessarily need planning, they just jump in. So you can see how in a team where you've got these different strong dominant drives, how do you balance and bring that team together where every drive has different needs and understanding those needs? Do you have any comments on that, Andrew?
I do, because on those two things that you've just mentioned, pioneer and first responder, for me, it's very helpful to understand why there could be conflict or misalignment there. Pioneer, by definition, is going into uncertain, uncharted territory. So how can there be a plan? Because no one knows what to expect. A pioneer could well have a plan going to an environment like that, but how can you be planned in a situation when you don't know what's going to happen? First responder are energized by urgent response in the moment. You think about a medical first responder. They cannot plan for when their services are going to be needed. But when the situation unfolds, they respond calmly in high pressure and chaotic situations, and they lead the team in those scenarios. The other thing to consider for first responders is that you can't do chaos out of chaos. So there will be some sort of a plan, but it's not something that you can get down and plan how it's going to unfold.
Agreed, Andrew. Now, I think for leaders to bear in mind that with their communication and with the drives that possibly do need more stability, maybe to slow down, because one of the pillars of a great leader is stability. So if you've got a team that, or some of the team really do need to have some sort of certainty, how can you bring in whatever way that looks? Obviously, we're in uncertain times. What is certain? Really reiterate to them and getting back to their needs of what they need to feel safe in these moments of chaos or change or new direction. How do we bring that stability? And I think that's something for leaders to consider.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to go on to now our last of the accomplishing drives, which is our snapper. This is all about precision, strategy. The communication is going to be focused and targeted, often analyzing situations and making well-thought-out contributions. They prefer clear, direct conversations and can pinpoint issues quickly. The snapper is about precision and accurate execution. They're going to be focused. They're not going to waffle. They're going to get to the point. It's going to be with almost like surgical precision. That's how they accomplish things. That's how they get things done, is with this hyper focus. And so when you communicate with them, that's how they're going to communicate. And what do they need in terms of get to the point with them? Give them a clear, precise direction of what needs to happen.
If we take the concept of a special forces sniper, they are engaging with a target that tends to be mostly static. So in order to make sure that they hit the right target, they will need a lot of information. Very often, snipers, when they execute, they do it right the first time with high precision, high accuracy. So the language will need to have that level of clarity in it in terms of what is the target, what is expected. The analogy of a military sniper is a whole lot of conditions, like what's the wind speed, what's the trajectory of the bullet, what's the target, and all the other considerations that go in there. So when you're communicating with a sniper, they will be going after detail because they need that level of detail to be accurate and to be precise. Snipers need to learn in terms of communication is when they need concentrated, focused time, and to communicate that request and expectation to other people, because one thing that they can get really derailed by interruptions and things that pull them off task. You'll notice that they tend to be very narrow the focus and to be very precise. What that could also mean is that when they're in that situation, they will not be communicating necessarily unless it's target specific.
I hope that going through this domain of drives, the accomplishing drives, we've given you some insight into how each drive possibly communicates themselves or needs to be communicated with. You've seen that some of the drives are high action. They perform well under high pressure. You've seen productivity, efficiency, organization, structure, confidence. Some of the drives more confidence than others in their communication and the way they move forward. It doesn't matter which side of the drive you're on, whether it's a drainer for you, it's a dominant. Is the communication enough? Have you asked enough questions? Have you explained enough? Because it's up to you to get clarity on what does this situation mean. And for the other person not to be judgmental, why are they doing what they're doing? Why are they not doing what I can see so clearly and how I want to move forward? We hope that this brings more clarity into how you can communicate better with your, maybe your spouse, maybe your colleagues, maybe your children, is understanding what they need in their communication because of the way their accomplishing drives show up.
Just a final consideration from my side. When you show up in any given situation or context, these drives are not playing out in isolation. They will be a dynamic chemistry mix of different drives and different styles. And we make the mistake when we assume that other people think, get things done, or relate with others the same as we do. That chemistry effect of how people show up in different situations or context and what communication looks like and means to them will be sharply influenced by the drives at play in that particular situation. And that's where, as we said to start this out, that communication is important, where we need to learn the art of active listening, where we really need to hear for the cues so that when we communicate, the message is delivered as intended from the person communicating.
And I'm going to add, Andrew, don't forget the nonverbal communication. Only 7% of our communication is verbal.
Thanks for joining us on this exciting journey of self-discovery and fulfillment. We hope you found inspiration, practical takeaways, and maybe a deeper understanding of how drives work in action. If you want to discover your drives, head over to engagementfit.com and take the drive assessment. If you love this episode, remember to hit the subscribe button. We'd also love to hear your thoughts, so leave us a review or share this episode with someone who's ready to unlock their drives and thrive. Until next time, keep driving towards a life of meaningful impact.